Good evening, everyone, and welcome
Love
to
Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Center Stage, or special edition, I should say, of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Well, again, y'all, we're having audio problems, so we're going to move forward. We're not going to worry about that. It's too much on the table tonight or this evening. The verdict is in. George Zimmerman was found not guilty of, the murder, I would like to call it, of Trayvon Martin. A jury of six women said that he didn't do anything wrong. I guess in this country you can call 911 or the non-emergency number, if you will, and tell them that someone suspicious is out there, and they tell you they're on the way, and they tell you not to follow the person, and you do it anyway. Follow them into the dark, and in less than 2 minutes you kill them. And in this country, that's not murder. That, according to the jury that came back with that verdict, George Zimmerman didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't found guilty of a lesser charge. He was found completely innocent. So today I must admit, my heart is heavy. I didn't hear the news until late yesterday evening because I was quite busy on yesterday. And the radio station in which I was listening to, believe it or not, was a religious station, and they never broke in to tell us what the verdict was. And so I'm listening to all these great gospel songs, and I'm thinking everything's, you know, still awaiting a verdict. And lo and behold, at 8 o'clock last night, I realized that George Zimmerman had been found not guilty. So today, I realized that what happened was really they presented for us a four-ring circus. While we were watching this whole trial unfold like a soap opera, in reality we were watching a four-ring circus. They provided us with clowns, you know, people that dressed up like attorneys, and they basically were clowns, and they put on an act for us. And they wanted us to believe that they were trying to see that Trayvon got justice. But in reality, what they did was pretend that they were going to put George Zimmerman on trial. But that's not a trial, y'all. I mean, in my opinion, what we saw was that George Zimmerman was paraded in front of us. We saw them put him in handcuffs. Again, tricks, y'all. We saw them parade him in front of cameras so that everybody could see, listen, we got him. Y'all wanted us to get him, so we got him. So they paraded him in front of the cameras in handcuffs as though he was really, really under lockdown. But we know that's not true now. And what we watched was, then they put on a trial, and they made us believe that George Zimmerman was really on trial. But now, after the verdict came in, it finally hit me. They never intended to convict him. They didn't even want to arrest him originally. So all of this was just for those Trayvon Martin supporters who wouldn't shut up. So because the Trayvon Martin supporters would not shut up, they decided, okay, we'll give them what they want. We'll put on a show, we'll arrest him, we'll put on a trial, and we'll make them feel like they got what they wanted. And then in the end, we'll let him go. Okay, y'all, that's my commentary on that. And I say it because that's really how I feel. And today, I frankly don't give a damn. I mean, I'm typically politically correct on this show, but today I frankly don't give a damn because I really realize that in America, black life has no value whatsoever. And Trayvon Martin, in my opinion, unfortunately, had to be the catalyst that woke up black people so that we realized that we're right back where we started at. I mean, seriously, we're right back to the Jim Crow era. We're right back there. And until we get up and do what we did in this Trayvon Martin situation, we got to rally, y'all. We got to do some boycotting. We got to go back to turning our plates back because this is a wake-up call. And I hate that Trayvon Martin had to be the catalyst, but we needed to see that if we didn't get up and do something, someone like a Trayvon who was doing absolutely nothing at the time that he was killed, to be killed, and the person could walk away scot-free. So that was a wake-up call for Black America and white America, too, because I really believe it's going to be not just Black folks being, you know, killed like this. It's going to be some other races as well. But I think it's going to take a while for other people to realize it ain't just about Black folks. But we feel it especially because Trayvon looks like us. And I feel in my heart today I am Trayvon Martin, and that could have been me walking down a Florida street not doing anything, and someone called the police and said I look suspicious because I was wearing a hoodie. So I think for all of those, and we covered this on the last five shows I've covered on George Zimmerman in this trial, you know, for all those that can't understand what Black folks are talking about and they think that George Zimmerman is innocent and they can't see, you know, how George Zimmerman would have attacked Trayvon and Trayvon must have attacked George Zimmerman, when the day comes and this situation faces you or someone you love, then you'll understand. But today, the rest of us get it. So I'm going to bring my panel in, y'all, because, listen, I'm going to get off my soapbox because I could go 2 hours by myself. I see two of my guests on the line, so I'm just going to go to y'all now. Good evening, Carl Mitchell. How you doing?
That's fine, Karen. How is your day?
Well, you know what? Not good, Carl. And I saw on your Facebook page you're not doing too good either.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Is your heart as heavy as mine is, Carl?
Yes, it is. In light of this judgment or this verdict, I agree totally with you about this mockery of a trial that they put on the prosecutors and whatnot. You know, they could have done a way better job of trying to convict a Zimmerman, but they didn't do so. They missed the ball by a whole lot.
Well, wait a minute, and let me back up for those who don't know Carl. Carl's been on the show before, but I don't know, it's been a while. So, Carl, first of all, tell them how involved you are as an activist and what organization you're with.
Well, my name is Khufu M.G. Cush, Paris, Texas. I'm a community activist. I previously was a member of the Concerned Citizen for Race Equality. I was the president of that organization. Then I became the public relations director. Now I'm just on my own as a community activist. So I deal with discriminatory cases and racial harassment and police brutality and a vigilante of the Black community here in Paris, Lamar County, Texas.
Okay. And y'all, for those of y'all don't know where Paris, Texas is, trust me, it's a place you don't want to go to if you don't know that town and don't know somebody in that town, because it's just the kind of town that a lot of Black people have been racially profiled and a lot of things have gone on. I've covered that. If you go back in my archives, we covered Paris, Texas a couple of times. A lot of things go on down there. And Carl is one of those, or Khufu is one of those, that fights for justice down there. So that's why he's a part of the panel today, because I knew he could bring a lot to the discussion. Okay, someone has a block number. I'm going to assume this is one of my guests. I don't know, and I'm going to go to you. And if not, we'll just come back to you later. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hey, Carrie, it's Kay Quinn.
Hey, Kay Quinn, how you doing?
I'm trying to hold it together, Carrie. I'm really trying to hold it together. But even I agree wholeheartedly with your opening commentary, and I wanted to add to that the comments made by Robert Zimmerman Jr., who wants now to know what makes people angry enough to attack the way Trayvon did. Is that not despicable? Is that not despicable? Does that not just grab you to your core?
You know what? I think, in my opinion, with him, and I saw someone post that on Facebook, I think the reality hadn't set into him yet. Your life is in danger. Hello. And so I think I would be very careful and tread very lightly around this country now. So I don't know how much money they think is going to take for them to stay in hiding indefinitely, but I'm here to tell you probably a lot. I mean, because you can't go eat. I'm sorry, you can't go to a movie.
You can't go to the grocery store without somebody spotting you
and possibly attacking you. So when I saw that, I thought he must be either delusional, or it hadn't sunk in yet of just what the impact of this trial is going to mean for him and his whole family.
Well, so I'd like to just read what Alex Frazier posted, and I posted his letter to George Zimmerman on my wall as well, and it was, "Dear George Zimmerman, for the rest of your life, you are now going to feel what it's like to be a Black man in America. You will feel people stare at you, judge you for what you think are unfair reasons. you will lose out on getting jobs for something that you feel is outside of your control. You will believe yourself to be an upstanding citizen and wonder why people choose to not see that. And people will cross the street when they see you coming, and they will, they will call you hurtful names, and it will drive you so insane some days that you will want to scream to the top of your lungs. But you will have to wake up the next day, put on a firm look, and push through life. I bet you never thought that by shooting a black male, you'd end up inheriting all of his struggles. So enjoy your freedom. And it's signed, Sincerely, a black man who could have been Trayvon Martin. I thought that was the epitome of what George is going to feel, because he just inherited all of the attributes of a black man. While he thinks he's free, he's going to be in hiding for the rest of his life.
That is true. And, you know, and I think I saw that letter, and for whatever reason, I couldn't get in it. And I was trying to get it to see, and I could not. And I realized that part, the part that I could read, was so correct. He was going to get a chance to see what it felt like to be a black man in America. Okay, let me go to somebody else who keeps raising their hands. Obviously, I'm needing to come to you. Good evening. Is this one of my guests here on Center Stage?
No.
Hello.
It's not a guest. Hi.
Who is this?
My name's Joe. Are you taking
calls? Hi, Joe.
Hi.
What's your question or comment today?
Well, I predicted that the outcome would be what it is because, number one, it's in Florida. Number two, you had six, I thought it was six white jurors, but I learned correctly, it was five white jurors, and the other one, I don't know what nationality she is. And then they had the charge, the initial charge.
Get in the feedback. Do you have your computer in your room?
The computer isn't doing this.
Okay, there's a...
I know, I hear it too. It's not feedback because of speakers, because my speakers are down.
Okay, it's giving us an awful... you got to have a computer or something else on.
No, it's not necessarily me.
Okay.
Can you,
is that
going
okay.
now, right?
Okay.
No, it isn't.
Okay. Can you hang up and call us back? Because that's an awful feedback.
Well, I can try. Let's see what happens when I call back.
I'm sorry, but that was an awful feedback. Yeah. It's so, you know. Okay. Did that feedback not stop? Let's see if I close this line, will that stop? Okay, that stopped the feedback. So, young man, it was your phone because when I cut it off, it did stop the feedback. But Carl Mitchell, you know, what does that say to black people when that verdict came back? I mean, what does that say to us?
That said to black people that, you know, we haven't went too far from the 60s and the 50s. Speaking a lot of being like Emmett Till and Mega Ever, you know, these cases are going to be compared for the remainder of history. You know, we're dealing with typical Southern people. And I'm going to say in Florida or South Carolina, Paris, Texas, you know, we're dealing with Southerners. And these were five Southern white jurors and one Hispanic who they said she may have been Hispanic or maybe black. I don't think she's black. She's more like something like Marco Rubio. You know, he's not on the Hispanic side. He's a Republican. And he thinks just like the white people do. And
okay.
So in regard to blacks and whatnot, they don't even care. You know, Marco Rubio don't even care about his own race of people. So this type of Hispanic lady went along with this verdict. She's one of those type of people. And it just one thing is good about this case, though, is that Florida does not have the last say-so in what happened to Zimmer. We have the Civil Rights Division coming in, the Justice Department, these type of other organizations coming in to give their assessment and possibly bring some federal charges like they did in the Rodney King case and a civil suit like they did in the OJ case. So not over with for George Zimmer yet.
But you know what? This is the thing. Why do we have to go through all of that just to get justice? I mean, and I know they did it in the O.J. trial Nicole's family sued and I think Goldman's family sued and, you know, O.J. had to spend a whole lot of money. But really, shouldn't the system work before we have to exhaust all, you know, I mean, do we have to exhaust every single means in order to get justice? Or should, I mean, the state of Florida, golly, spent I don't know how much money. I mean, those taxpayers are footing a bill for that five-week trial. I mean, really? Does it take more just to get justice? Come on, that's not fair.
Well, Carrie, first of all, the system was not created for us. The system is absolutely working for who it was created to work for. But before I go further, there is an, you know, we have this Black History Month, the month of February, the Black History Month. Well, there is a website, Carrie, very hateful, and they're calling themselves the American White History Month. And to answer your question as to what is this saying to America, they've posted two words, open season. So we know what it's saying to them. Now, I clicked on and liked their site because I want to stay informed and know what's going on. You should see the pictures that they are posting with their gun barrels, with, you know, your camera looking straight dead on to the gun barrels while they're posting under open season. So that's exactly what it is saying to the whole United States. It's saying it's open season, and anybody that have those laws already instituted, that's what they're going to be going by. Now, it works,
you know,
it doesn't work for us.
Oh, I agree. I'm going to come back to you, caller. I just see you back on the line. Let me go here. This is where I think we're at. I think that I don't think people are realizing if I feel like you're going to arm yourself, then I'm going to arm myself. I mean, so what are we going to have, the Wild Wild West out in the street every day?
That's
now?
That's exactly what we're having. We're back to the – didn't you hear them say they want to take their country back? I just wasn't so aware of what they were trying to take it back to. And we as a race of people, Black people, we're always so reactive as opposed to being proactive. We don't ever have our acts together until something happens.
I'm going to say this, you know, and I agree with you 100%, but, you know, like I said, this is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call for Black people to realize, hey, we got to get back to the boycotting. We got to stop being lazy. We got to do what we got to do, because if they don't recognize us as people, then we got to show them that when we're absent from spending our dollars with you, let's just see how much that hurts. So you got to hit people where it hurts, and that's in the pocketbook today. And so I think that's what Black people got to do. Get off the buses. They got to get off, you know, stop going to the grocery store on certain days. They got to stop going to the gas pumps on certain days. They need to boycott all of the amusement parks in Florida. I'm sorry. Make them respect you. I mean, that's just,
I have said the exact same thing, even made a post about it, because we have prayed, we have rallied, we have even rioted. We have done all of that, but what we have not done is hit them in the pockets. I've said that.
I'm a Bible reader. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So I
exactly.
say that Black
and
folks.
Even Martin Luther King came out from behind that pulpit at one point. You see what I'm saying? You can't just stay there. And that's what they want to do. They keep running to that institutionalized building. And Carrie, while we're there, please just let me say this, because it's a real controversial point that I have, even with the book that I wrote about it. But I'm going to say this, and let the chips fall where they may. But only slaves, mental patients, sick folk, prisoners, and ignorant religious folk, and people who can't take care of themselves, they are the only ones that are locked inside of an institution. And people today, they don't realize that these institutionalized buildings that they go to and call themselves worshiping God, they don't understand that that's not what it is. You can't be so focused on yourself to go get your praise on, and you don't care or give a flip about what's going on in the community around you. They will not come outside of those buildings. They won't come outside
the walls. And I agree. And I think today, you know, in my opinion, it's just what it is, y'all. I mean, if what you're doing is not working and you keep doing it, they call that insanity.
Huh. That's exactly what it is.
And what we've been doing since King died is insanity, okay?
It's insanity.
So we're going backwards, y'all. If you haven't paid attention, we're moving backwards. So if you want to move forward, that means you have to push with some resistance. I'm sorry.
Ladies, I wonder how this next case is going to play out in Florida that's not been so publicized in the media. It has been briefly, where the white guy shot those guys right out the gentleman did that crime there. A white fella used to stand the ground law at a service station at a gas pump where a black guy was playing music. He said too loud, and they asked him to turn the music down.
Yep.
And turned down. Remember, he shot in the car, shot somebody in the car, and said, you know, struck the fella in the back seat and killed him. And so, you know, I wonder how it's going to play out in Florida, where it's not publicized as much, but You know, we're dealing with the same type of thing. The standing ground law is going to have to go.
You're right, Carl.
Stand your ground, got to go. Because I think in the end, and I've covered the Castle Doctrine, stand your ground, make your day laws. They're all the same laws called different things in different states. The problem with the law, y'all, is that, and I think it was Charlie Condon in some part of Carolina. I don't remember if it was North Carolina or South Carolina, but he was the attorney general. And you can Google this. If anybody think I'm making this up? Charlie Condon basically said this in gist. Listen, if there's a shooting and somebody says, or stabbing or whatever you want to call it, whatever the situation may be, somebody got killed, let's just say that, and someone says, my defense is stand your ground. He said, listen, don't even prosecute them. Basically, in essence, don't even arrest them. Just let it go. Because stand your ground is just what it is to stand your ground. And that's, and I wish somebody Google it and read it, exactly what Charlie Condon said, but that's just it in jest. And I could not believe that Attorney General would say that, but he really did. I mean, he really just felt like stand your ground just meant like, you know, okay, I can just basically walk up to you right now, okay, and say, you know what, I don't like you. And because I don't like you, I'm going to kill you right now, and I'm going to get off. And guess what?
And you don't even have to have an injury. You don't even have to have an injury.
They're saying as long as it's in your mind that you, I perceived that Kay was about to kill me, that's all that matters. The threat was real in my head, which is just the craziest thing. So I think the wording has got to be changed. I think the law has, really needs to come off the book completely because I think really – I think any time someone kills another person, a full investigation should be should take place. I don't care what they tell you initially. Every inch of that story should be investigated. And I think that's what
they should have taken his phone. They should have taken his car. They should have taken his blood so that they could see what he was on. But they did. They did all of that to the dead man.
This is true.
That's correct. You know. That's true. Places like Florida and Texas, you know, these governors and these attorney generals, you know, like, of course, we have Rick Perry here, one of the dumbest governors. I don't understand where he comes from. Then we have Greg Abbott, the new governor, you know, and they for these voter ID laws and this redistricting and mandating, you know, gerrymandering districts and this type of stuff here. You know, they just totally for discriminatory laws against African Americans. You know,
I agree. And that's
freedom,
what it's coming
you know,
out. Go ahead. No, that's what it's coming down to. We're going to go to 347-337. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hi there, folks. Great show.
Hi.
Hi, I'm here. Can
you
hear me?
Good evening. Uh-huh.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Hello? Oh, I'm good.
Yes,
my name is Hotep Kenyatta. Enjoying your show, I've got to tell you. First of all, of course, we all are aware our people are in serious trouble. But the trouble does not just exist in America. It's global. Globally,
ooh,
there's a war on brown and dark people because we are the original people. Now, what that means is that we're from the original lands. We have the original oil, diamonds, gold. So what has happened systemically from Saudi Arabian times to Christian Anglo-American times, they have vilified us. Made us look like monkeys and made us look like gorilla, made fun of our booty, our lips, everything. And now a guy like Zimmerman can kill us. And even some of our own brown black people will defend him. I just was on the radio show and the brothers were saying that what happened to Trayvon is from God because of our sins. Think about that. I mean, you mean you're killing our young people, but somewhere we sinned. And so if the white master or the Hispanic master kills us, it's okay. We have a deep-seated problem, and it is compounded by the fact that we're unable to come together because we're divided by money, who's got an Ivy League degree, who's Christian, who's Jehovah's Witness, who's Muslim. Meanwhile, the system is raping Africa, raping the Caribbean. So, and I think the president, not the precedent, but the man in the White House is not a part of the solution. Because on slave plantations, you had black people that were slave masters. You had house Negroes. We have to wake up and realize that our children are dying, and until we call a spade, we're going to be in the garbage heap.
Wow.
And I totally agree. Totally.
That's
agree.
A mouthful caller. Thank you so much for calling. We're going to go to Reality. I think is the name. Reality is showing up on my phone lines. Good evening, your own center stage.
All right. Yeah, how's everyone doing today?
Fine, how are you?
Good. How are you?
All right,
I'm doing all right. Yeah, but actually, I have a different twist to this outcome. I actually, from day one, once I heard about this case, because I study law a little bit, and if you guys, you can listen to my archives. Those are the only shows I have posted right now is just about this case. And since the beginning, I've been saying that George Zimmerman, he was wrong, but according to law, he was going to be found not guilty. And I know the whole world, you know what I'm saying, this nation is pissed off, you know what I'm saying? And
We're mourning.
But the fact of the matter is what could have stopped this? And what I see from it, you know what I'm saying? I'm a father of, I have 18, a 17, a 12, a 6, a 5, and a 2-year-old. And what I see from this case, what could have changed it all was respect. You know, from George's position and from Trayvon, you know, just a simple communication, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
George Zimmerman could have stated he was a neighborhood watch or whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and Trayvon was a child, you know what I'm saying? I teach my children, you don't have nothing to say to an adult. If any adult...
A stranger,
you know what I'm saying? If anybody disrespects you, come and tell me. I'm your father.
Mm-hmm,
I will handle
mm-hmm.
it. You know what I'm saying? Trayvon...
Well, reality, let me stop you for a second there.
Yeah.
Aren't you re-victimizing the victim? I mean, what I'm saying by this is, so first of all, if I had a child and I don't have children, but if I did, I would train them not to trust the stranger in the dark that's pursuing you. So first of all, my child would still be running. But
okay.
for whatever reason, George Zimmerman was able to catch up with Trayvon, more than likely because he knew the complex and the layout
mm-hmm.
of the property
mm-hmm.
that Trayvon, so he was able to cut him off when he was running. But that said, why would Trayvon stop and talk to a man that's following him? I would have trained my child that was a predator.
Exactly. He should have got away from the scene. He shouldn't have been on the phone with his girlfriend. He should have immediately been on the phone.
Why can he not be on the phone?
He should have been trying to get some help if someone was chasing him. And then his girlfriend, which was an adult herself, she contributed to the delinquency of a minor. She should have got some help for him. She knew that he was in a fight. She knew that there was an altercation. It's just not... This whole case is completely wrong, and I'm actually glad that the outcome came like this, because in law is not judged by emotions or hypothetical. Law is judged by case law, and if he would have been found he would have been found guilty, we really would have problems. This law His what they was trying to fight for, it really is a good law. You know what I'm saying? You should be able to.
Then why is that really good law reality not working for Black Americans? Why do we have a Marissa Alexander sitting in jail doing 2 decades, 20 years for her self-defense claim when she shot in the ceiling? Didn't kill anybody. Why is she serving 20 years? Nobody died. How is that a good law? Please help me understand that.
Every case is different,
yeah, it's very different. Nobody died. She shot in the ceiling. She's serving 20 years. This young unarmed teenager is dead, laying face down in the cold, wet ground.
Then it goes back to education. How did the laws get on the books? You know what I'm saying? If all the laws are wrong, we need to stop and have a.
You just said it was a good law. And it works. My question was, how come that good law is not working for African Americans? Why do we have a John White who is 54 years old serving 5 to 15 years guilty of manslaughter? At least a Zimmerman could have been found guilty of manslaughter. Why is it not working? That's the question. Carrie, I don't mean to take over your show. I know this is what you do. But the question is, why is it not working for African Americans?
We have to educate ourselves.
And let me go there. In reality, you know what? I think you just taught us something. And I'm going to take away from this exactly what you said you were doing. You're learning the law. So you know what I'm going to do? I guarantee you one cotton picking thing. If I'm ever confronted with Trayvon Martin's situation, I'm going to know the law myself. So it tells me we Black people got to get off YouTube learning how to twerk. And we need to get in a book, turn the TV off, because it's dumbing us down, and we need to figure out how we can make sure the stand your ground works for us next time. That's what I
And we need to spend some time at the gun range and learn how to perfect that shot.
But yeah. What? We still acting reactionary. We got to be pro. We got to, you know what I'm saying? We can change the law. We can go look at all the laws today. And whichever ones we like or don't like, we go from there and filter it out. That's best for us. You know what I'm saying? We just don't wait until things happen. That's the problem.
You know what? I think it's conversation like we're having today. I think it's dialogue. The point of this show today, y'all, and let me put that out there, is to talk about the verdict, to allow you to vent if you wanted to, for us to support each other, to console each other, because we all feel like we lost somebody. And at the end, I think it is that, you know, we need to realize we got to get together. Now we got to start putting our heads together like other groups do and realize that we are being hunted down like prey now. So you know what? The best thing to do is know your enemy. I mean, so we need to figure out what we consider the enemy to be, and I'm not calling anybody specifically an enemy, but whoever it is that would hunt us down like animals, we need to figure out who that enemy is. We need to understand, one, the law. We need to, two, have our own guns, and then we need to know for sure that we are on the right side of the law whenever we feel like we have to respond to whatever an altercation is. So you need to understand that. But reality, we got to move on. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thing. Hold on. It's easy to point out that type of enemy. But what about that enemy that's smiling in your face and then create the situation and stand back and have us killing ourselves? That's the enemy we need to find.
And I think too. Let me piggyback on that. Another thing, I really think we need to be careful about getting on Twitter and getting on these other Facebook accounts and media outlets, and we're putting stuff out there that's going to eventually get you put in jail. When you hold a gun up and say you're hunting down George Zimmerman, don't be surprised if they come knocking on your door. Be careful with that. That's ignorance. I mean, that is ignorance in the biggest way. You know, if y'all go to Twitter, there was somebody posted an article about all the crazy tweets that have come out since this trial came back. So, thank you, reality. Okay, we got to move on. We're going to go to area code 404-343. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hi. You know, I'm sitting here. I'm listening to everything that people are saying. As much as I'm upset right now and very irritated that George Zimmerman completely walked away from murdering an unarmed black teenager, I got to be honest when I say that I'm just as upset and angry that black people are killing other black people in Chicago, in Detroit, in the streets of L.A., in the streets of Oakland. And, you know, my thing is, if we're going to protest about people like George Zimmerman, you know, let's protest about the real white supremacists that produce people like George Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's protest about, you know, the racist laws like the Stand Your Ground law that makes it able for people like George Zimmerman to profile blacks and kill unarmed black people in the streets like animals. So, you know, let's protest about all the killings that has since happened since Trayvon Martin was killed.
And I
let's
agree
talk about
that.
The killings of black children.
Okay,
black.
That's Alberta Parrish. She's also on the panel this evening.
Alberta. That's awesome.
I know.
That's awesome, but I think what we're missing is those black people that are killing other black people, I don't think that the police get them and then release them and let them go free. I think that's the major difference, and that's what the core of why this gained so much media attention the way it did and captured our hearts, because you can shoot yourself as Plaxico. You can shoot yourself and go to jail, in the leg, not in the heart, and go to jail. So it's a difference, and I think we can't put our blinders on and pretend like, well, you got black people killing black people. Yes, we do, and they got their behinds locked up for it.
Uh-huh.
It's filled with black people in there. The problem is that these white men think they can do it and just go on with their life. Did you hear Amara say that at the end of his opening? Let Zimmerman go on with Mr. Zimmerman go on with his life, as in, oops, we killed the wrong one. It's okay. We didn't mean it. Let him go on back to his life. Trayvon is dead. So, and he wants to walk free and did walk free. Oh, my gosh.
He surely did.
Let's go to area code 661-748, y'all. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Okay, madam. I know. Yes,
yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I know there's a lot of emotion on this issue, but look, it does no good whatsoever to utterly mischaracterize the law as one of your panelists did by saying, oh, if I just have it in my mind, I can walk up to you and I can shoot you and say I was in fear of my life. That's not what the law says.
That's not what George Zimmerman did.
Don't go so fast. That's not what the law says?
776, justifiable use of force. It's very short, madam. I can read it to you.
So why would it not justify for Trayvon?
May I read the law first, and then we can go over the nuances? Wouldn't that be a good starting point?
Okay,
instead
we're listening.
Mischaracterizing it.
No, we're listening. Then, go ahead.
We're listening. Go ahead.
Use of force, 776.012. Use of force in defense of person. A person is justified in using force against another when and to the extent person reasonably believes that such conduct is necessary to defend himself or herself or another against the other's imminent use of unlawful force. However, a person is justified in the use of deadly force and does not have a duty to retreat if, one, he or she reasonably believes, again, that word, reasonably believes that such force.
Well, George Zimmerman didn't reasonably believe it, but we see he got
Trayvon Martin reasonably.
That's a funny word. They really need to redefine that for us because reasonably, it goes a really long country mile. It really does.
Trayvon Martin had a reasonable belief that he was in danger.
I will be happy to debate the point. Can we get the law established first? And then go over that.
We need you to read the law and not put so many emphases on the part that you think matter to make your point.
Yeah, all right, fine. Okay, I will. All right, reasonably believes such force is necessary to prevent imminent death or great bodily harm to himself or herself or another, or to prevent the imminent commission of a forcible felony, or under those circumstances permitted pursuant to statute 776-013. Now, we go back to this idea of reasonable, and the reasonable person standard has long been established in common law, Supreme Court precedents, and innumerable court precedents throughout the country. It is that standard which a reasonable person, yes, they put reasonable in quotation, reasonable,
because the reasonable man standard
has to be, otherwise if we don't have some sort of basis or foundation upon which to
Frank
make a
Taffy.
Value.
Frank Taffy, let me interrupt.
Please tell me this. Yes. This is Frank Taffy on the phone?
Wait. Frank Taffy. Can I interrupt you for a second?
I don't know who Frank Taffy is. I'm not Frank Taffy.
I'm sorry. We thought you were Frank Taffy. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue.
All right. Again, the reasonable person standard is that objective reasonable person upon whom that serves as a foundation for which you make these judgments about what is reasonable. That's it. Now, I know that may seem arbitrary to you, but you got to have a foundation. You got to have a basis from which to make the judgment. And I think
can I ask you something, Colin? Because, I think we all pretty much know what the law says. We just don't agree with it. But let's go here with you. What do you think happened that night? Since you seem to be a George Zimmer supporter, what happened? What do you think happened that night?
Thank you for that question. This is what I believe. I'm a retired state police. I investigated.
And we got an echo. Did you cut a computer on or something? Because all of a sudden now we get an echo.
And the feedback.
I'm saying that I'm a retired state policeman. I investigated homicides, auto thefts, burglaries, robberies, you name it. I did it. And I developed a theory of this case. That doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I necessarily have evidence to support every single aspect of it. But in my mind, to a moral certainty, I believe it. That's it. And this is it. I believe that Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman became separated. If you listen to the testimony of Rachel Jontel, she says Trayvon is telling her he has arrived back at his house. He's back home. But for some
she said almost. She never said, no, you're going to get it right. She never said he's back. She said he's almost home. He's not going to run anymore because he's almost home.
There are GPS coordinates which were not introduced in the trial to indicate more than likely where Trayvon Martin was and where George Zimmerman was. That was part of the raw data dump that the prosecutors were late in giving to the defense that they could not completely decipher in time because they gave them a raw data dump. But I've seen people who have examined what they could of it and would appear he was at his house. And say nothing of the fact, as you heard the defense play, a 4-minute gap in which they could not account for where Zimmerman.
That was really 2 minutes. But can I jump in here, Jesus?
That's 4 minutes. That's 4 minutes.
Let me jump in. First of all, let me tell you something. Let me establish something. Let me finish. Let me jump in. Let me jump in for a second, please. Listen, please. If I were being pursued and I made it home, trust me, your ass would be in trouble, okay? And excuse my French for anybody that may be offended, but I'm just saying. So that makes no sense to me that the boy would make it home, not come out, and come back out with a weapon and kill George Zimmerman. So that makes no sense.
Even Detective Serino told him that he's got to be hiding from you because he couldn't have made it home in that amount of time. But since you've done detective in interviews, I would like to ask just for a second, sir, have you ever during your interviews had to tell the defendant, here, let's get this rigged in your head. Let's get this story rigged in your head right now. Did they not hear that? Why are they rigging things in George Zimmerman's head?
I use every tactic imaginable to include lying because you are allowed to lie to a suspect when he agrees to waive his rights against self-incrimination, his Fifth Amendment rights. You can lie.
So you rig stories for others? So you one of those dirty cops that rig stories for defendants?
No, it is not illegal to lie to a suspect, madam.
Because he also told him that he needed to give him an approximate time where his screens were held.
One at a time.
During that interview, he said that as well. So I'm just trying to get an understanding as to if the detectives, and during the interviews, they do help the defendants.
Let him finish because we got to move on. Okay, go ahead, please, sir. Finish.
Okay, detectives often lie. It is allowable.
I can believe that. I don't know who. Everybody should know that. They lie, y'all. Okay, so we believe that. Okay, go ahead.
Necessary to find the truth. You can't get it any other way. Often. Now look. You didn't let me develop my theory. You didn't let me finish.
Okay, listen.
I believe, based on the evidence I saw from the court, I've got 548 megabytes of data on this case. Include autopsy reports, police reports, everything. And I believe, this is what I believe that they lost sight of each other, that Martin was dissed. He felt he was a thug in the making. That's what I believe. He was a thug in the making.
Oh, my God.
Let him finish. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is this an echo chamber? All right, look. The guy, I believe he was dissed. You go on the YouTube, you see him refereeing Fight Club. You look at the Facebook exchanges he had with other people with about getting served up purple drink and
lean. You were telling us what happened. You're getting off subject.
Yeah,
you were telling us what happened that night.
It's not like I just got out of thin air. I didn't know anything about this boy's character or his
conduct.
Okay,
so you want to see white people with their
white people.
How is that? He's a 3.7 GPA.
Wait a minute, Kay. First of all, don't yell at the host. And second of all, so we've established that you think Trayvon was a thug in the making. Okay, so that's your opinion.
Why?
What does that have to do with the fight? How did it begin?
I haven't even finished my theory yet. Now you want me to go on to something else. Could you please let me
finish it? No, it is your theory. I told you established that you thought Trayvon Martin was a thug in the making. Got that part.
Yes.
We all got it. So now you were telling us how you think the altercation began, because we got to move on.
I just want to know how he thinks Trayvon was
Kay, let him finish, because we got to move on.
That's not Kay.
Okay.
That wasn't me.
Okay, a medicine free thinker. Okay, let him finish.
May I proceed now?
Yes, please.
All right, again, I think when they lost contact, Trayvon was hiding. Oh, boy, I'm not going to be able to get this out. I know as soon as I start, you're going to interrupt me. Bye. Rachel John Tell testified, or rather she said on the court, she was guilty. Remember she said she was guilty? She didn't want to come forward. She was the last person in the world. Her very best friend's been murdered. She doesn't want to come to the authorities to tell them anything about her exchange with Trayvon Martin. If nobody finds that curious. Well, I did some thinking about it, and I looked into it, and this is what I believe. I believe she was guilty because when he told her the creepy-ass cracker was following her, you need to go back and kick that creepy cracker's ass or something similar. That's why she's guilty. She didn't say that.
She didn't even testify to that.
Why would she admit to it?
Okay, I totally disagree with that. And you know what? No. Okay, you still ain't. Okay, so you think he went back on Rachel Gentile's word and decided to start a fight with Zimmerman? Is that what you're saying?
Possibility, yes.
He told him to run.
I think it's possible. I didn't say he did it. I think it's possible because everyone else told us that they know what George Zimmerman was saying. They just know. Why?
Okay, let me ask you a question, and we got to move on for real. Okay, we got to move on because the lines are jammed. Okay, we're going to move on, but this is what I want to understand. I want to understand, in your mind, there's no way that this, as you call him, wannabe and thug, was just walking home talking to Rachel Gentile on the phone after he left 7-Eleven buying an iced tea and a bag of Skittles, that he was just minding his own business and was just en route to the house. That's just no way possible that that's what happened,
yes,
and George Zimmerman attacked
him.
There's no way that could have happened that way?
Ma'am, it is entirely possible George Zimmerman murdered that boy. However, there is no evidence to sustain such a conclusion.
Evidence is he was running away.
I would beg to differ with you. There is absolutely no evidence to support what George Zimmerman said either. So we got to move on.
Yes, there is. That was why.
Get him. Okay, no. Bye, please.
Hey, so we have a question before you go offline.
Okay. Y'all listen. We're going to go to area code 850-527. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
850. Hi, Carrie. It's Terrence. I finally got the call in. So.
Okay. Hi, Terrence. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, not so good. But you just tell us, what do you think of the verdict? What do you think?
Well, actually, in all honesty, and I told some of my friends, it's not a lot of people, but I honestly thought he probably would have got convicted and got at the least like 10 years for manslaughter. Because of the enormity of the situation.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, I've gotten to the point. Where I grew up and how I grew up in life, nothing really surprises me anymore, really, to be honest. I just called in when the last caller was speaking on certain things, and I think what I've come to the conclusion is that a lot of white noise has been thrown out there to get people off the topic of what actually happened. Because everything that's been thrown out there is Trayvon was a thug, or you have the right to carry a firearm, and nobody's arguing whether he was a thug or whether he was not a thug. Nobody's arguing whether you can or cannot carry a weapon. Nobody's talking about the facts are not concerning stand your ground or anything like that. Everybody's missing the point that this is what happened. And I know this because I grew up in a neighborhood where if you run up on someone, you better be ready to protect yourself. And that's basically what it comes down to. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the hood or the products. Anytime you run up on someone and they don't know who you are and you're coming up on them in a threatening manner, you're going to protect yourself or you're going to bow up to defend yourself, period, point blank. So
they're getting that from Omara's website.
He
posted all those pictures. I'm just saying that's where they're getting the thug information, because that's the image that Omar and his defense team put out there, that they posted him blowing smoke and all of those, you know, did that. So that's why they have that.
Right. But the thing about it is, again, that's more of the white noise that's being put out there.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that this – I mean – you have the phone records to support everything. I won't say eyewitnesses, but you have ear witnesses, I guess, if that's what you want to coin them. You have one individual telling her friend to get away from that individual at its essence. You have a professional 911 operator telling the individual do not pursue said individual whose friend is telling him to get away from strange guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have that going on. The guy says, I'm going to follow this blankety. Whether he called him racial slurs, and my thing is I'm eliminating anything possible, whether he's racist or anything like that. I'm just going with the straight facts of what happened. This dude willingly said, I'm going to follow this guy because I don't know who he is. I'm going to run up on him. And what happens is, and some of us who grew up in, especially a lot of black folks who grew up in neighborhoods, when you run up on people, you're going to get handled. And that's what happened. The guy got embarrassed, and he shot him.
He
wanted to. Now, in just that exchange right there, what I just described constitutes manslaughter basically.
Mm.
That's what it comes down to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts around anyone, and I'm not the biggest legal expert in the world, but by definition, what I just described, just the physical exchange constitutes manslaughter. What they tried to do is they tried to make it like if it was in a bar fight type situation or a wild animal kingdom type situation where you have two lions facing off, and that wasn't the case. Because if you have two lions facing off, then that's when you can put – that's when you can enter in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't facing off. They weren't. One was moving himself from the situation even before he realized it was a situation coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
there is no self-defense on Zimmerman's part.
Because he closed that gap.
Right. He
but don't you
in
think,
the gap Terrence, where the individual's trying to get in.
But don't you think,
Terrence,
sorry, that –
he did the right profile. He was the one who asked to profile Trayvon Martin. So when the profiling was established, then it's just like if an officer profiles a defendant and the defendant is found to have drugs on him or the weapon, but the officer was found to be racial profiling, then all that the defendant had on him would be thrown out, justified. Well, it wouldn't be justified, it would be thrown out. So anything Trayvon Martin did to Zimmer, for in a scuffle or whatnot, should have been thrown out. So he was the one who profiled. You know,
mm-hmm.
Zimmer was just another guy who slipped through the cracks, a thug who slipped through the cracks of the system by being a community officer, whatever. You know, you got thug community officers too. It's just like the football player, the NFL Hispanic fellow who just killed a black guy. He slipped through the cracks. The NBA commissioner said that he was the one who slipped through the cracks. He fooled them. You know, they thought he was an upstanding citizen. Just like George Zimmerman fooled the community by being a community, what he supposed to be, a community officer or watchman or something. But he wasn't no more than a thug because he was racially profiling blacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think in the situation, just like you said, I think, and people really don't understand the definition of what a thug is. People are just going by what the popular culture viewpoint of it is. And actually, George Zimmerman's actions constitutes what a thug is by definition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, the thing is, we still keep forgetting this, that the George Zimmerman was the adult in this situation, and he was the one that had the upper hand. First of all, he had a gun. Second of all, he was neighborhood watch volunteer. So all he had to do was to identify himself to Trayvon. He knew the police were on their way. All he had to do was tell Trayvon, I'm with neighborhood watch and the police are on their way, and we just want to know what you're doing around here. That was just too simple. And so for them to have just let him off with you're not guilty, just doesn't make sense to me, because everything he did was wrong that night, and a young man lost his life because of it. And to find him not guilty just makes no sense. I don't know what system we would have in place that would be working properly that would have let George Zimmerman walk.
Right.
It's not working properly. It doesn't work for us. And what would have happened if George Zimmerman would have just went up to him and offered him a ride instead of seeing him as a thug? Because he didn't know anything about it. He see a kid. He knew it was a kid in the rain. What about you? You want me to help you get home? Can I take you home? It's raining. I mean, just something. Like you say, start some type of conversation instead of just assuming and then murdering him. He did want to murder him. That's all it was. And he had that adrenaline flowing in addition to the drugs that were in his system that weren't allowed to come out and all of his anxiety issues. But he wanted to murder him. And as scary as they portrayed him to be, I can't believe he would go walking in the dark with that gun in hand. I just don't
know. Okay, y'all, we're talking about the Zimmerman trial, black life versus white privilege. Y'all, that's what we're talking about tonight. If you have a question or a comment, get on the phone lines, and I see some calls, and I'm going to come to you in just a second. If you have a question or comment about tonight's or this evening's topic, get on the phone lines, 347-850-8390. Tonight, we're just out where this evening, y'all. I normally do a night show, y'all, so I'm like off a little bit here. But if you just want to vent a little bit, if you want to encourage somebody, to not do anything stupid, if you want to share some information about a rally going on in your city, if you even want to pray with us, if it's a preacher or evangelist or a missionary, any of y'all want to pray with us, calm the rest of us down who ain't feeling so good about this, feel free to do so, because I don't do a show on Sundays typically, but I did one today because, y'all, I couldn't get it together. After I heard about the verdict, I didn't hear about the verdict until 8 o'clock Central Time last night. I was so busy yesterday taking care of a situation in my own life that I I really didn't hear the verdict. The radio station that I was listening to never broke in, as I said earlier, and gave the verdict. And I heard about it after I got back home, 8 o'clock. And I was like, I have been literally numb, appetite gone, since mm-hmm. I heard the verdict, because I have to go with what everybody said from the beginning. I am Trayvon Martin. So let's go back to the phone lines. We're going to area code 276220. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Doing all right. I just had a statement I would like to read. This is, I've been following this case since, you know, the first news report of the incident, and I've been glued to the television, and I, you know, like millions of other people, had to post something about it, but I stayed out of the argument the whole time until, you know, the verdict was read. And I'll go ahead and tell you that, you know, I've listened to a couple of other shows on this program, Blog Talk Radio, and some of the white people calling in have been very, very disrespectful and, you know, throwing around words that I would never use. So if you guys, I just, you know, discovered your program a few moments ago, so I want to go ahead and apologize in advance if you've had any racist idiots call in and say things to you that were inappropriate, because every other show I've called into, I've heard that, and I'm hanging up, because that seemed to be the only ones that were calling in was these idiots that want to keep using, you know, words that you know, there's no place for today. But here's the statement that I put out, and then if you, you know, want to continue to talk to me or whatever, we'll continue. But I just said, the verdict is in. George Zimmerman was found not guilty. This verdict must be respected. The prosecution in this case looked three stooges throughout. They were Rhonda, sounded like a pissed-off schoolgirl, stood up for the prom, shrilling and screaming wildly during closing arguments Thursday. It amazed me how many of the prosecution witnesses seemed to support the story of the defense, almost like they were trying to lose the case. This was never about race for me, but unfortunately, race was interjected by supporters on both sides. Now then, with that being said, I must say that from the time I first learned of the shooting until the trial began, I, like most of America, thought this evil man chased and murdered an innocent child. Being homebound most of the time, I have been glued to CNN every day, all day long. As I listened to the direct and cross-examination of the witnesses and saw the evidence presented in court, my opinion began to change. One thing that bothered me from the very start was how the mass media portrayed this. For a long time, the only pictures we saw of the deceased were from the time he was around 12 years old. This was a clear example of media bias playing on our sympathies and leading us to believe that this big racist wannabe cop murdered an innocent little boy. We heard very little of the prosecution's gross misconduct they committed by withholding key evidence or the victim's text messages he sent and received trying to illegally obtain a gun, or his incriminating pictures on his phone, or how the state's attorney's office employee who blew the whistle about this was fired from his job Friday. Nor did we hear much ado about Mr. Martin's Facebook postings about how much he liked to fight. I am sorry, but some witnesses for the prosecution lied about whose voice was on the 911 tape screaming for help. If you are punching someone in the nose and allegedly banging their head into a sidewalk, you will not be screaming for help. I am sorry for the loss his family suffered, but six neutral Americans weighed all the evidence and testimonials and decided that Mr. Zimmerman acted in self-defense. Now, hopefully, there will be no violence in the protests that are most certainly to take place in the hours and days to come. Racism is an ugly thing, and maybe one day society will wake up and see people first for who they are, not what they look like. Hopefully, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton will stay away and let Sanford, Florida begin the healing process. I am sorry this young man lost his life, and I feel for his loved one and the many around the country that were saddened by his death and outraged by this verdict. But, and this is a big but, if people like Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and LeVar Burton want to stop the senseless killings of young black men, they should protest black-on-black murders, which account for over 90% of black people that are murdered. gang violence and drug deals gone bad have killed far more young black men than any creepy-ass cracker, neighborhood watch, racial profiling vigilantes. My sincere heartfelt apologies to anyone who takes offense to this post, but I had remained silent throughout this case and could be silent no more. So with that being said, that was my statement, and one of my dear friends who's African-American that I have had as a Facebook friend and confidant for, well, a long time, immediately unfriended me because of that post. You know,
okay, now I'm going to let my panel weigh in. I'm going to reserve my comment. I do want to say this, though. I do appreciate your call, and I think you're sincere. I really do. But I think because you sound Caucasian.
I am, but I am not.
No. I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm just saying, what I think I'm hearing here. You sound Caucasian. You sound sincere, but I think sometimes it's only in walking in a person's shoes can you realize the experience that we had. And I think some of that was missing in what you said. And I'll just leave it right there. Okay, panel, do y'all have any comments about what you just
said? Carrie, I have a comment, please. This is Kate, to the caller. I was so moved, almost moved to tears with your apology, because we really have been hearing a lot of hateful speech and no remorse whatsoever coming from the other side, and it hurts, it grieves us that we can have such hatred and evil even in this year, 2013. But what I would like to touch on is that if you would consider for a moment, Trayvon was only 21 days removed from his 16th birthday. He was a child. I don't know of many children that don't do and get into trouble or do different things, and that's okay. If he was into fighting, you hit the nail on the head. It was organized fighting, and they did it in 3 rounds with someone there to at least referee it, and no one died. But here's what I wanted to point out to you, because you didn't touch on this at all. If we want to go into Trayvon's past and all of the wrongs that he did for his 16 years, let's at least go back and look at Zimmerman's past and what he's done, because he's a grown man. And this same man, they're not posting about how he was charged with fighting law enforcement officers, because that would have made a difference. If they knew that truth, that would have made a difference in the outcome, perhaps, that if he, because he sat there and act like he was just this, oh, I can't even fight my shadow, I'm just, then why are you fighting police officers? Not only that, why are you beating women? Why are women having protective orders against you? You're not violent. You don't have issues. You wouldn't hurt a fly. Then why are you having to have a protective order against you? What they're not telling, sir, and I please want you to understand this, what they're not telling is George Zimmerman's father, who was the judge, they practically own that town. So anytime he gets in trouble, then they can sweep that under the rug. That's why you have Detective Serino in there talking about how they're going to rig this story in his head. And he kept getting George out of trouble, out of all of those. And then even with those on his book, he was still allowed to get a gun. How was he allowed to get a gun with all of that violence on his record? It just doesn't make sense.
That means they got some stuff expunged or something. But thank you, Paula.
Exactly.
Let Kufu or Alberta or y'all want to say something real quick before we move on with this caller? We're going to.
Go ahead.
Who's that, Terrence?
I'm sorry. I thought somebody else was going. But the one thing that the caller did say, I do understand where he is coming from, that there are certain things that he actually hit on that, and to be honest, that a lot of black folks don't want to touch, which I get. But at the same time, it still does not, we still go at the essence of the fact that the dude he basically hunted the guy down as if he was in, like he was a predator, basically. And when they got, at the very least, he profiled him. That's just at the very least.
That's
before
it.
I agree. Anything else. So,
thank you, caller. We got to move on, y'all. Terrence, I'm going to leave your phone line open. Okay, Dr. Zoe Spencer, okay. I'm going to open your phone line. We're going to go to area code 111111. You're blocked. So I don't know who you are, but good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hello,
okay.
Everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, my name
Hello?
Is Teresa.
Okay, Teresa. Hello.
Well, first thing is, I hope everyone can find some kind of peace out of this madness. But what I found when I listened to these, I guess former police officer, modern day, whatever, and I'm listening to other people, black folk bringing in, well, black on black crime, and that's the one thing why Zimmerman was found not guilty is because white folk have a united front. They stand behind each other. Where we're all divided on different pages and what have you, we don't have a united front. So this is why this kind of case can affect us as it does, because we're all over the place. And until we become a united front, we will never get the justice that we want and seek. And
okay, caller, let me ask you this. From somebody
yes.
who, I don't want to say my age, y'all, but listen, I've been around long enough that I haven't seen that in my lifetime. Let's just say that. How does a group begin that? How do you begin to come together as a united front? Maybe that's some advice that the people listening tonight or this evening need to hear. How do we come together like that?
Well, first and foremost, we have an information foundation, which is the Internet, and we share this information with each other, but we cannot do it on a large across the country way. We have to do it in small groups, in our own small knitted communities, have meetings, talk, start to change your behaviors. If you're doing certain things that are not good to a great foundation, a solid foundation to teach our children what we need to do, and we need to teach our children about racism. Black folks started to get these good jobs, as we say, back in the 60s and what have you, and they thought we had overcome. And we did not, so they swept racism under the rug. Even today, we still want to say, we're coming around. White people are accepting us, and all of them are not the same. But that is not true. We see that with this verdict, that these folk may say, well, I'm not racist or whatever, but they hold the united front. So I say that in order for us to move to the united front, we have to begin at home first, and then we have to begin in smaller groups in our neighborhoods and communities.
I have a question of
the panel, and I'm going to get off and listen. And thank you so much for having this show today. I think we needed some place to scream and yell.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Will the DOJ file federal civil rights violations and or hate crime charges against Zimmerman? Take care, everyone, and at peace. Much, much peace and love to you.
Thank you. Khufu, can you answer that?
She said I was in two different places there. Yes, it's not, you know, like I said earlier, Carrie, at least it's not over with for the, you know, the Zimmerman verdict. We still have the civil rights aspect of the case coming in for as suing Zimmerman for wrongful death. You know, when blacks learned that through the O.J. trial, you know, they injected something new, slipped something new in on the blacks. And so we learned that new tactic coming in with, so we can use that, you know, as a means of, you know, getting some more things done. Also, the Department of Justice, U.S. Department of Justice, the Obama administration coming in with the civil rights investigation another criminal investigation against Jim Flores violating this new racial profiling policy that Obama has instituted. So hopefully get something done there as well.
Dr. Zoe Spencer, your phone line is open. Good evening. Good evening, 239-243. Good evening. Hello. Okay, we're going to close that phone.
Hello.
We thought.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh.
Hello?
We can hear you.
Hi, Carrie. It's Kim. I was
calling
in. Hi. I just wanted to first say that I really feel this is such a tragic situation. You and I have kind of gone back and forth on Facebook a little bit. And I just wanted to say that, like, my heart breaks for Trayvon's family and also the Zimmerman, because nobody wins in such a situation.
Right.
But I think, like, the biggest part that boggles me in this whole ordeal is the misinformation that the media has portrayed and fed to a lot of people. You know, like one of the callers had said something about that George Zimmerman's dad was a judge. I don't think he was a judge in Sanford. I think he was a judge in Virginia. And I don't think he was, I don't think he was even a judge. I think he was just a magistrate there. And I think that he retired here. So I think there's a lot of misinformation, thinking that his dad was a lifelong judge in Sanford and pulled all these strings, you know. And I think that things like that enable people to also prejudge a situation as such this. I think that two people had assumptions about each other that were wrong that night, and it came to a very, very tragic end for both, because Trayvon now has lost his life, and George Zimmerman has basically lost his life, because I can tell you, even if he felt if it was self-defense, he's got to lay his head down on his pillow every night with the haunting knowing that he killed anybody. Because I think when you kill somebody, whether it's to save your life or whether it's just malicious, I think there's some sort of psychological issue that you have to go through that kind of plays into your head, and that kind of, you have emotional issues, you have psychological issues. And I think that the totality of the situation, if we keep identifying with separation of blacks and whites or Hispanics, and he was from Hispanic heritage. I don't know if it's confirmed for sure, but I did read something one time that he was adopted by this father, that this isn't his biological father, that this is, that he has a Peruvian heritage. His mother is from Peru, and he has a Peruvian father, and that this Robert Zimmerman has adopted him, and that his brother is his father's biological child. And I think that
But let's go here. You know, we don't want to break down the fact that just because somebody's adopted doesn't mean they're part of the family, because we would hope every adoption means you're part of the family once you get in there. So that's not fair. But let me go here with Kim, and we're gonna be very transparent tonight, this evening, y'all. Kim and I have been Facebook friends for a minute. Kim is Caucasian, I'm African American, and we see so many things the same way. It's not funny. But we were a lot divided on this, and at one point, it even got touchy. I mean, Kim and I had ended up apologizing to each other about the way we were coming at each other on this particular issue. We were like, listen, we didn't kill nobody. Why are we fighting? I mean, because it did to Kim. It got crazy.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, you've never lived in my life, and I've never experienced your shoes. Your shoes may feel different to me as my shoes. I don't look at... I have a biracial child, and I've never shared with her any kind of racial issue, because I feel in my heart, as I can't speak for an African-American, I can't speak for Hispanic, but I feel that if I broke my leg when I was 3 and I continue to identify with that broken leg throughout my life, I'm not moving forward. I'm not progressing. I see... that I can't go out and say, hey, my African-American friend, Carrie. No, I say, hey, you know, this is a really nice lady I know. Her name is Carrie Hines. I don't identify with people by the shade of their skin. I identify people with who they are, which are human. We're a human race. Like in nature, nature is dependent upon each organism, the grass, the trees, the animals, the sun, the water, the light. Everything is dependent upon each other. If it doesn't work well with each other, it will not be able to sustain. And I think that that's a problem with humans. They want to separate and divide, and that's not right. The media.
But I think, and this is what Kim and I had a breakdown on this, y'all. I think, and Kim is the sweetest she can be. I want y'all to know that. She really is a great person to follow on Facebook. But I think what Kim, at some point, Kim started to, and I don't want, the term empathize is not a good term, but I believe she believed in the fact that maybe there was more to the story, and maybe some of what George Zimmerman was saying was true, and she left a lot of question marks where I was pretty closed on what I thought happened. And so as we began to go back and forth, every time I'd log on, Kim would say something like, did you see this article, or did you, and I began to get like very defensive, And then I realized, wait a minute, why are we doing this? And so this thing has divided along racial lines. Even people that I, you know, considered to really, really like, all of a sudden I became defensive if they didn't see it my way and vice versa. And it really yep. shouldn't be that way because none of us killed anybody. You know, and we didn't come to Trayvon Martin's fate, and we didn't kill anybody. And so as far as us fighting amongst ourselves, I think it's a terrible thing. And Kim and I said, listen, we're going to squash this. You know, we feel bad for the situation on both sides, but we didn't kill nobody, and we didn't come to Trayvon Martin's fate. You agree with that, Kim?
I agree 100%, Carrie. And each day, even though I see the standpoint from my standpoint of view, from the facts, from the law, that mm-hmm. I do side with the fact that he possibly was self-defending. And not that Trayvon Martin didn't feel in his mind, hey, I got some weirdo following me. I don't know what this guy's deal is. You know, all I know is these two people assumed something about the other person with no prior contact, and they both assumed wrong. And I think that when two people who are on defense, like when me and you were having issues talking and going back and forth, we come right. together, it gets heated, it gets volatile, and nothing ever good comes from situations like that. And I think that when those two came together, it's clear that Trayvon gave him a really good butt kicking, and he probably deserved it. But when there is a heat of the moment fight going on, this was my issue, and the reason that I take this issue is because I had shared with you that my brother had gotten punched in the face, one mm-hmm. blow, and when he hit the ground on the wood floor, he died instantly from one blow. He didn't have any gashes. He had a goose egg, but the one blow to his head killed him instantly, and that's where I see how George Zimmerman could have felt that his life was in danger, because if he had had his head slammed on concrete, I could see where he would think, wow, I could lose my life here. I'm not saying that's 100%, but that's the issue that made me sway that side.
Carrie, you know what? And we're going to leave Kim lines open, and we got to get some more phone calls because I see Tyler Papel has been holding a really long time. Kim, I'm going to leave your phone line open. Good evening, Mr. Tyler. I do apologize for your long wait. How are you? Welcome to Center Stage.
Hey, how's it going? Hello?
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 We're listening. Hello?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I've been watching a lot of the Zimmerman trial, and I hear a lot of people saying, you know, that if it were a white kid and a black man that was following him, you know, it would be a whole different story, and it wouldn't be on the news at all. But,
right.
you know, I think that if a white kid was in a black neighborhood, people would be calling the cops out of fear for his life, thinking he was the one in trouble, and it was weird that he was in, you know, their neighborhood.
Wait, what? I'm sorry. I'm getting some feedback from your, I don't know if your TV is on or something, but I think what I thought I heard you say was that if a black kid was in a white, I think if a white man was in a black, I'm sorry, I got confused about what the hood had to do with it. If what happened with what?
You know, if it was the opposite way around and there was a white kid in a black neighborhood, I think that people would be calling the police because they would be scared for him, for his life. And you know, that argument is invalid because I don't think, unless it was a gang shooting, the white kid would have been shot, you know.
Okay, then let me ask you this, Tyler. Do you believe in George Zimmerman's innocence, or are you a Trayvon Martin supporter, or how did you see this whole thing? What do you think happened?
Well, you know, I think what happened was George Zimmerman was having his life threatened, and I think he was innocent, and he was justified in his actions to kill Trayvon in fear of his life.
Okay. Well,
so,
can
I ask a question?
Yeah, sure. Go for it, Google.
So let me know. Let's say if it was Trayvon who took Zimmerman's gun after Zimmerman put his gun on Trayvon after being racially profiled, because Zimmerman approached him. He didn't approach Zimmerman.
But you don't
and
know
they got into a scuffle, and Trayvon, after the gun was pulled on him, took the gun from Zimmerman and shot Zimmerman with his own gun and claimed self-defense because he's racial profile. So do you think Trayvon would have been vindicated in this altercation, in this situation there?
I think
did you get that, Tyler?
So you're saying that if Trayvon would have gotten a hold of Zimmerman's gun and shot Zimmerman, then he would have been justified in his actions?
Yes, because
yeah.
He was the one who raised the profile. He was approached. He was not the approachee. He was approached.
But Trayvon didn't know that at the time. He didn't say, oh, I bet that guy hates me because I'm black.
Well, if he's following you in the dark and he won't identify himself, I think I'd pretty much draw that conclusion.
It's not like Zimmerman walked up to him gun pointed. I mean,
and
yeah,
we don't know
we don't know.
Well, apparently Zimmerman didn't know that he was racial profiling.
Apparently,
he didn't know that he was fitting the description of racial profiling at the time he approached Martin. Otherwise, he may have not have stepped to Trayvon after being told not to advance on Trayvon.
You're making assumptions also that he knew he was being racially profiled and that Zimmerman, you know, came after
well,
him.
Well, if he called him a creepy,
he knew he was being followed.
Doesn't that kind of indicate that he
followed.
Felt like he was doing something wrong?
Are you actually believing what Rachel Jontel said? Because
you know what I feel like? This is how I feel about testimony. If you want to pick and choose who you want to believe on that stand, there was a whole bunch of folks on there that I would disqualify. So
exactly.
I would say disqualifying Rachel Jontel, I got a whole long list that we can go from. You know what? There would be very few people left standing when I got through disqualifying whether or not I believe every single thing somebody said on that stand. So I don't know if we want to go down that road. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't believe a thing that the gym owner said. Let's just talk about Mr. Osterman. That would be George Zimmerman's best friend. I don't believe a thing he said. Let's talk about the man who said he bought George Zimmerman the suits. I don't believe a thing he said. I think he's so biased he wasn't even supposed to be in the county, let alone in the courtroom. So when we start disqualifying people, there's a whole bunch of testimony up there. Let's talk about George Zimmerman's uncle, the sheriff's department guy. I don't believe a word he said. Okay? I don't believe a word he said. So when you tell me you was in another room and you heard the TV come on and you heard George scream, you didn't even know what they was talking about on the TV, but you knew that was George screaming. I'm sorry.
And you never heard him scream before.
I never heard him scream before. So come on. So let's not start talking about who
I have a question.
Huh?
I have a question for Tyler. I have a question for Tyler real quick.
Okay.
Because, like I said, there's a lot of white noise being thrown out. So my question to Tyler is, let's just say someone is running up on you at night. You're just walking. We're not assuming any racial profiling. We're not assuming that the person thinks you're up to any no good or anything. You're walking home minding your own business, and you're close to your home or wherever the destination that you're going to go, arbitrary situation or destination, somebody is running up on you in a expeditious manner. You don't know who they are, but they're running up on you. What is your reaction? What is your first reaction and what is your first thought?
And
before you answer that, we're not going to assume that the person has a gun, but this person is running up on you in an expeditious manner and it's turning dark. And we're not even going to assume that it's totally dark, but it's getting to be dark. What is your first reaction and what is your first thought?
Well, if they were running at me, I would be scared. But if they were just walking towards me, I would figure they would have a question. I wouldn't answer them with a fist.
I'm not saying running or walking. I'm saying in an expeditious manner. Like they are meaning coming towards you in a purpose.
What if they were skipping towards you? Really?
Yeah, but they're coming towards you. You know this person's coming towards you in an emergency type manner.
Then I would
he has a reason
help.
Coming towards you.
I wouldn't
What's
respond
that?
To hitting him.
But that's not what I'm saying, though. What is your initial thought? You don't know the person, and he's running up on you.
I probably wouldn't assume that he was going to shoot me with a gun.
Put this spin on it. He's a black man.
Oh, yeah.
But what I'm saying is, and what I try to do is, and I try to get people, because a lot of people don't want to think about these things. They want to say, well, maybe he has a question to ask me. If it's turning nighttime, dude, you can say whatever you want to say. If somebody is running up on me and it is nighttime or it is getting ready to turn night, no, man, nobody's going to be running up on you to ask you a question. I think we
right.
all know that.
What is that term called when people are not supposed to invade your space? What is that called?
You know, when you're in my personal space.
Yeah, you're in
my personal space.
And so when it's nighttime, doesn't your personal space get a little bigger?
Exactly. Your personal space gets bigger. Your sensories are more heightened because you're more aware of things that are going on. It's just like the fact that you're at home by yourself. You start to hear noises that you normally wouldn't hear when you have company. It's the same
thing. Okay, yeah,
thing.
We don't want to put Tyler on the spot. Tyler, thank you. We got to move on, Terrence. I don't think Tyler's going to be very honest with us tonight. Okay, Laura Ben something. I'm sorry, I can't even pronounce what I see on the screen, but it starts with Lors, L-O-R-S. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Night of Slatter.
We got one of those, y'all. You know, it's always the haters. I'm going to try to hang up on you. Let's just keep moving. Anyway, y'all. I don't know, and it happens, y'all. You know, it's radio, and you get crazy people who want to call in. And I think, you know, it also speaks that. Why don't I just hang up completely? But so I think what happens is in a situation like this, you get the crazies to come out. You get the people mm-hmm. who are provocateurs. You know, mm-hmm. who just want to, you know, see something inside it, you know, or you get the people who, you know, just want to just put static in the air. You know what I'm saying? Just anything nonsense, you know, to confuse everybody or just throw everybody off, if you will. And so for those people, I say, listen, find another show. But
right.
I think at the end of the day, it's so many people, you know, with this George Zimmerman trial that don't realize that the stakes are really high. The tension is thick out here, y'all. I mean, I don't want to mm-hmm. say where I'm at, y'all, but it's thick here. And so I really think that people, in my opinion, should be very careful about what they say. And that goes both ways. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to even have this conversation with a stranger on the street. I'm not going to even do it. I mean, because
mm-mm.
first of all, I don't know you. It's not worth it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't feel like I ought to get myself killed for talking about something that maybe you just ain't ready to accept either way. And so I think we have to be very careful about our language about this particular topic because there's a lot of people who are very tense about it. I mean, we're tense about it. That's why I did the show today. I don't come on Sundays. But I thought we needed an avenue to just vent. I mean, just talk amongst people who maybe felt like we did or some who didn't, you know, who just wanted to come together and say what they thought. Because in my opinion, if somebody doesn't get smart enough to put this thing, it's going to bubble over. Does anybody agree with me on that?
I do, Carrie. Can I just ask a question? Is your friend Kim still on the line?
Kim? Oh, yeah, Kim.
I'm here.
Because she made a point, and she said that, you know, there were two people making wrong assumptions that night. And I would like to submit that there was only one person that made a wrong assumption that night, and that was George Zimmerman because he assumed something. He assumed that he was looking at a thug. But for Trayvon to say, this man is following me, that assumption was not wrong. That was a reality. He was actually following him. So it wasn't two people making wrong assumptions.
From my perspective and my point of view, I see it as that George assumed that he was doing something only for the fact that there had been multiple burglaries in his neighborhood. If there had never been a burglary in his neighborhood, he may not have assumed that. Just like,
well, Kim, I understand that, but does that mean now that because there was a burglary in his neighborhood, every young black person that lives in that neighborhood is now suspect to George Zimmerman, the judge, jury, and executioner? Is that what we have to look for? We have burglaries all over and across the United States of America. And they're not all done by black individuals.
No, I understand that. But in the situation that he lived in a neighborhood that there had been six previous burglaries, he's assuming, and he was wrong for his assumption. And I think I think that Trayvon Martin was also wrong, regardless of if he was walking and Zimmerman.
Why was he wrong? I feel like
he was wrong for if he was the first person to hit George, because he assumed that George was a creepy ass cracker, and like the girl had said, Rachel, well, maybe he's a pervert. They weren't in Watts. They were in a gated community. So they were both making
Wait. You don't mean to tell me that you don't think pedophiles live in gated communities, do you?
Please.
Well, I can tell you this. I just came from a gated community, and you cannot have a pedophile in there because the Homeowners Association will not allow it. You're not allowed to live in those kind of communities, and you have to be certain that they have to be so far away from a school.
Do you know that they're not allowed to have a gun license with the history that George Zimmerman has? They're not even allowed to have a gun license, and he has that. But why do you believe the one that told so many shifty stories over the dead boy who has no motive? No motive. He's walking home with earbuds in his ear talking on the phone. Why? I'm going to ask like Robert Zimmerman Jr., why would Trayvon be so angry now to just attack this stranger? Why? Why?
Well, I don't know because neither one of their actions are correct actions at the time. But like I said,
but we're talking about an adult and a child.
Well, you know what? And I'm going to go here because we got to move on. We got to take the big guns, 33, and I'm not sure what's coming behind that, y'all, but, you know, be prepared. Really got to remember there's only one person left to tell the story. And there have been some inconsistencies that really turned out to be just lies because they turned out to be like one statement made one day and another statement got a little bigger the next day. So, you know, everything George Zimmerman said, we know that night was not true. But, y'all, we're going to go
when,
to...
When you first kill somebody, I don't think that your mind is even focusing, or when you've shot somebody, or when you've
had
to...
And you really don't
want
to go to work
brain.
The next day. You really
but
don't want to go to work the next day.
You may
day.
Not want to, but you can't expect
but
just
he
because
did.
He did make that choice. Yeah, but he just because he made that choice doesn't mean that he maliciously set out to kill somebody that night. It doesn't
We're
mean
not
that
saying
he
maliciously
you know,
did it, but we are
but
saying
what,
that at least it should have been manslaughter.
Has,
it should have been at least it should have been manslaughter.
Well, I said something before you move on.
Two people were there.
Hey, go ahead. The big guns hung up, so y'all. anyway, go ahead.
Now, in Texas law, the black code law, the black law books, about 12 years ago, I was vindicated of a case, a white male and I had a fight, and I beat the guy pretty bad, had him purple with face, and I was charged with assault. Well, you know, we ended up beating the assault case on the basis of the black penal code law book states that I showed where the guy approached me in a threatening manner. And the Texas law states that if anybody approaches you in a threatening manner, for as if they wave their hand the wrong way, or if they stand the wrong way, or their body movement shows a threat, then they have already assaulted you. So I actually showed where the guy assaulted me first without even putting his hand on me. And so I was justifying and protecting myself. And so and I don't know what type of law that Florida has, but Trayvon would have been vindicated for us. He would have been justified for him to assault Zimmerman based on the way Zimmerman approached him, because if Zimmerman approached him in a racial profile manner, or a threatening manner, or made a wrong stand, or threw his hand up the wrong way like he might going to strike him or anything like that, Texas law say that Zimmerman would have already started the altercation for his assault, Martin. So.
I have a question for Kim.
Yes.
Okay, Kim, you mentioned that there have been burglaries, and we all—I mean, most of us know—we follow the story. And like I said, I'm a person who's all about like common sense and getting down to the hardcore facts. So
you
my
got
question
an echo.
Is, since there was, oh, I do. Can you hear me now? No echo.
Yes.
Is it gone?
That's better.
Okay. Now, since we know there were burglaries going on, my question to you is: how many burglars do you know that are going to make themselves known coming from a convenience store? That's going to let themselves known that they're going to break into your home.
You know, crazy things happen. I'm not saying that he was a burglar. I'm not saying that it was right for him to assume. I'm just giving my standpoint and my perspective.
I understand that. I do understand that. But what I'm saying is, you're saying from your perspective, but what I'm trying to get at is when I hear people saying their perspective and my thoughts or people say things like my thoughts or my truths, and I have a problem with that because there's no my truth. It's either it happened or it didn't. You see what I'm saying? So that goes back to, okay, we know there were burglaries going on.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, if he's using those things and whatever else happened to have happened in his neighborhood that went on, whether it's a gated community or not, the point is they hadn't caught the individuals who were vandalizing the home. So how could he assume that that could be one of the individuals? What would prompt him to run up on someone who's coming from a convenience store? And I don't even know if he knew that he had the skills and the drink that he had, but how could he make that assumption and run up on a young guy like that? That's my thing to try and understand your perspective on why he was justified in running up on him in the way he did. Because my whole point in this is, why did he run up on him?
Here is from what I gathered from the 911 call. He's looking around. He's walking slowly. I wouldn't care who it was. I wouldn't care what color you were. I wouldn't care. But if I had seen somebody that I may not have recognized in my neighborhood, that I had lived there for 4 years, and I had seen somebody and it was raining and they were kind of like, you know, lounging around. They really weren't in a hurry. They were kind of looking around. I may call or I may stop and say, hey, do you need a ride? Do you need some help? You know,
exactly.
I just think that two people made wrong assumptions. That's
why. What was wrong with Trayvon's assumption? What did he assume that was wrong?
He was on the phone,
mind you. He's talking. He's on the phone. He's a kid. You know how they do. Well, maybe you don't. I don't know. But he's on the phone. He has earbuds in his ear, and he's walking, talking to a friend on the phone. No motive, just got candy and tea, and he's walking home in the rain. What was his assumption that was so wrong? Other than the fact that he assumed he was going to get home.
I don't think that it was a wrong assumption that Trayvon made. I just think that he says, hey, I got some creepy-ass cracker following me or whatever. You know, I don't know what this guy's deal is. And then he had told his girlfriend that, hey, I know I'm right outside of my dad's apartment.
That's not what she said. That is not what she said. She said he told her he was almost home. I could be way 20 minutes away if I'm on the phone. I said, well, I'm almost home. I'll be there. So he felt like he was safe.
Okay.
He actually thought he lost him.
Let's say neither one of them made an assumption, right? And it's 100 feet from George's vehicle to the cut that he was turning down when George told the officer or the person on the phone, the 911 operator, I just lost him. He's heading south, okay? So he's about 100 feet ahead of him. So when George gets out of his car and moves to the location, if they're both moving at the same speed, shouldn't Trayvon still be at least 100 feet ahead of him walking south in that direction?
It depends. He didn't realize, Kim. He didn't realize that the threat was that real. Now, that same 100 feet that you're referring to, George Zimmerman could have took his behind back to his car.
Absolutely.
In that same length of time. Listen, here's what you're missing, and this is not what you're wanting to acknowledge. If Trayvon Martin is running away, he ran. Oh, shit, he ran. Then how in the world did Zimmerman close that gap? When he told the people, okay, I'm not going to follow him, how did he close the gap? If he's running away, that would indicate fear.
He cut him off. Listen, we got to go back to the phone lines. 347-337, I think I've opened your phone line before, but I'm going to try it again, and then if I have, we'll just move on. 347-337,
hello?
Have I spoken with you?
Hi, folks. How are you? Great show.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry? Okay, we're going to go to 214-208. Good evening, you're on Center Stage.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. I'm calling. This is for Kim. Yeah.
Okay. I thought y'all were talking about Kim. But go ahead. Kim can take it. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, she's the one that talked about assumptions. I have 2 points here. The first thing that she assumed, she said that Trayvon Martin was wrong for assuming at when he made the first attack on George Zimmerman. You don't know that. You're going with the defense's argument that Trayvon actually did. You don't know that. No one is around to tell Trayvon's story.
But I know that we don't have Trayvon here, so that we have to go on the evidence and the facts.
Yes, because this is a bigger
conversation.
One at a time.
It was circumstantial at best. There was no evidence to corroborate that. Did you know that Trayvon Martin had a 3.4 plus GPA? And that
he also didn't pass the MCAT.
No, you don't know that. You don't know it.
But that was released that he didn't pass the FCAT. But this has nothing to do with either one. Both of them, Trayvon, we can say Trayvon was experimenting
when
in drugs.
When you say
George
Trayvon
Martin
was, we're talking at the same time. When you say Trayvon Martin attacked George Zimmerman, you're making him be on trial for his own murder.
And he did.
That's not the case.
The law, what makes legal sense doesn't always make common sense. And that's the problem with most.
If you knew that that was what happened, you don't know that that was what happened. If I'm defending you right or wrong, it's my job to tell you everything I can to put reasonable doubt in your mind. And, hey, the state did not prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. We'll give it that.
They did not.
And the defense came out swinging. But realistically, you don't know what happened. You don't know that.
No, but if I'm neighborhood watch and I'm going to the Target and I see something that I consider suspicious and I call the non-emergency number and I'm on the phone with an operator and I have a license to carry a gun and I know the rules because I've taken my concealed weapons course and I'm on the phone with them and they say somebody's on the way, do you think that I'm going to ruin my life, jeopardize my concealed permit, and get out and walk around with a gun? You're not allowed to do that. You can't pull out a gun and walk around brandishing people. You can't do that. That's illegal.
Why did he do it?
And he would know that he didn't know. You can't assume that he did that. But you
you're
can't assume
it.
The same thing. I'm trying
well,
to put together what the facts.
Afraid people don't get out and pursue. He also said that he forgot he had his gun, but then it was also brought in the testimony that he carried it all the time. Trust me, if you carry a gun, and you know you just got to say it, if you're carrying a gun, you don't forget that you carry it.
I carry my phone every day, and sometimes I don't realize that it's in my back pocket. I'm like, oh, my God, where's my gun? And I'm shuffling from it. I carry a
gun
all the time, too. I do. I carry a gun all the time. I carry a gun all the time as well.
Okay, caller, you were saying? I'm sorry?
So a gun is a weapon as much as a concrete would be. You're comparing a gun to a phone.
I'm not comparing a gun to a phone. I'm comparing the situation that sometimes if you've got it on your hip and you wear it every day, it's something that is almost autonomous. You don't realize that it's, you know, sometimes you're like, you know, not thinking, oh, my God, I put my phone in my pocket every day, but you don't realize, oh, you know, it's in there. I put it in there. You know, sometimes just things happen like that. It's not like I can't imagine that somebody who would call 911 going to college wanting to be. Why would he want to pull his gun and make an assumption?
Because it's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with carrying a gun and none comes with carrying a phone. If you lose your phone, I won't lose my life.
You're missing the point of what I'm making. I'm trying to get you to understand
that that's not a good example. Give me another one. That's all I'm
saying. Here's what I'm saying is that if he pulled a gun out and was walking around the neighborhood, he could go to jail. Why a cop could pull up at any moment. Why would he jeopardize that? Why would he jeopardize if a cop walked up and seen him holding him at gunpoint? You can't do that.
He thought he was a cop anyway. He already
thought he was a cop. I don't think I'm an attorney just because I've taken legal classes.
Kim, can I ask you? I promise you I'm not going to beat up on Kim, but I just want to ask one question. I'm a black female.
Okay.
I'm a black female and I have a black husband. If my black husband was following your white child through a neighborhood, would that be okay?
I have a biracial child, and I wouldn't care one way or the other.
Just a child. Let's take color out. If my black husband was following your child, whatever race, would that be okay? As
if my child was
17,
if my child was 17 and looks suspicious, possibly your
husband
may ask my child.
What would make your child look suspicious? Because he have on a jacket and a hood and it's raining.
That's not in the dark.
That would be okay with you.
Can I cut in for a second?
No, wait a second. That's not what he said. The 911 call said. He didn't say, hey, there's a guy walking around with a hooded jacket on. He looks horribly suspicious because he's black. He didn't say that. He said the guy's walking around slowly. He's looking in. He's looking suspicious. He's putting his hand in his waistband.
He was setting up a crime. That's what he was doing.
Then why didn't he identify himself as a night watchman? Even if he had to hold him till the police got there. They already called the police. They were on their way. Why didn't he just identify himself and say, I'm the night watchman, we've had several burglaries in the area, and I want to be sure. Even if he didn't let him go, what if he'd
imagine.
Him? At the very least, he could have held him. I wouldn't even say it's an issue holding him at gunpoint. Hold him until the police get there. There was something,
maybe,
I'm really sure, I don't know, Trayvon, I'm really sure that there was something
well,
he
maybe
said
from
to Trayvon off.
Maybe from the time, like when the lady from his neighbor that got home invaded in broad daylight and she was upstairs holding her baby and her scissors by two men that came in, maybe he felt like, oh, wow, you know, maybe this is one of these guys or maybe it's a similar situation. Maybe
and
that's
you know,
like
that says
here's the biggest problem.
That's where the ill intent come from.
Okay, y'all, we got to move on.
Can I just say one thing?
Let the caller say one more thing and we got to move on.
Okay,
go ahead, caller.
Okay, it was not his responsibility to pursue. He was supposed to stay put until the police arrived. That's it. He should have stayed still. None of this would be an issue. If he broke in, he wouldn't have got a chance to do much because the cops were already on their way.
But the cops should have asked him, which way is he running?
To the left. To the left. To the right.
Yeah, can I add one thing real quick? Add one thing? And I promise I'm not jumping on Kim. And this is Kim actually brought this up. And this is something that nobody thought about. I actually thought about this morning when I was talking to my girlfriend this morning, and Kim actually mentioned it. I don't know if she caught on to it or not.
What?
My problem is, and another issue is, he didn't know Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, how did he not, but this has nothing to do with trying to blame Zimmerman or anything. How is his, since he's close to his home, he's a neighborhood watch. Why does he not know Trayvon Martin? That's my question. So my thing is, if his father lives in the same location where all of this stuff is going on, does his father not go up and introduce himself to, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, or does, because, you know, when you move into a neighborhood, for the most part, people introduce themselves. I mean, if you're standoffish, you're standoffish. But he's a neighborhood watch person, so he probably should know most of the kids who are there all the time or there some of the time. So, therefore, if he saw him walking, he would know his mannerisms and things like that. So my thing is, okay, his father. Did his father go around and say, hey, this is my son. He's going to be staying with me from time to time? You see what I'm saying?
Lived there, though, or was that his fiancé's house that they were visiting?
Yeah, they weren't living there.
Did he what?
I didn't think he was living there. I thought that
Trayvon
was in Miami and that Trayvon was in Miami living, but he was there because of the school suspension and that his dad didn't live there permanently, but they did stay frequent with the girlfriend.
What do you know about George Zimmerman's background? Because you're talking about the drugs, you're talking about the school suspension. What do you know about George?
I know that George Zimmerman
was arrested
for an assault on a law enforcement officer.
But go ahead and answer that.
And I know that he was arrested for assaulting a law enforcement officer, and the prosecutors said that he was overly charged, and they dropped it to a misdemeanor. And then he took that misdemeanor, and they gave him a diversion program, and then they threw his case out after he completed his 6 months of diversion.
Did you know he was a bouncer and was fired for being too aggressive?
you, can I respond?
Mm-hmm.
I know that he was arrested, or I don't know if he was arrested for sure about the battery on the girlfriend or the domestic violence, but I know that he did have a restraining order on. She had one on him, and he had one on her.
And
I don't
lot
know
of
that counts.
In the background. Okay, whoever's that making that noise, could you mute your phone? Okay, go ahead, Kim, and we're going to take a call after this. Go ahead, Kim.
I know that what is his background. I know both backgrounds. I know both situations. Regardless of the fact, two people came together in a volatile situation. Under the Florida law, even if Trayvon hit him first and George Zimmerman felt like his life was in danger because Trayvon was beating him, under the law, it still says that you can defend yourself if you feel like you have a imminent feeling of death.
Okay, Kim's going to clean up her echo. We're going to go while she's doing that to 6500. Good evening. You're on stage. You got an echo, Kim. 646-500. You're on center stage.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hello. Hi, I appreciate the show. The Zimmerman, it's so frustrating to hear some of your guests because someone is dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as though we are in a position where we are having to justify why the man is dead, as
yeah.
opposed to looking at this from the position of a young person is dead. I have children. I mean, I would never, I don't care if it's a KKK child, I would never try to hurt a child. So
yeah.
this is deeper than just Zimmerman and Trayvon. What we have is a world where by skin color, we are determined as inferior. And that is a root problem in our society, meaning you could have a degree, you could have no degree, but at some level in the corporate world I've been through it, dressed down and, you know, and on the street I go through it, meaning no matter where I go, it's like I can't find peace or safety because someone is looking at me as though I'm a thug. I go in a store, I'm followed. I go in the corporate world, people will turn down the deal and walk out of the room when they see me. But during the email negotiations, this was the best
yeah.
deal since sliced bread. But when I put my hat backwards and I'm walking with my homeboys who are producing rap music, I'm a thug. It's like there's no peace for us. So
yeah.
where do we find peace when somebody can just roll up on me and shoot me if I was 17? And then we're going to have to defend, well, you know, maybe this happened and maybe that happened. And if Kim was on a plantation 400 years ago and I was lynched, Kim would be there saying, well, you know, we don't know what happened. And I'd be like, but I was just killed. I was just minding my business. Now, fuck, this is real stuff, man. Our people are dying around the world. And it seems
you're correct, sir.
We just miss it, and I think a big part of the problem is religion. Here's why I say that. Because most religions teach that black is a sin, that there are no white, there are no black angels, that the angels are white, God is white. So we
mm-hmm.
have from religion to politics to Wall Street, we're trash. So how do we go from being considered trash to being the royalty that we are? Because all people come from us, including white people.
Absolutely.
How do we get back there? We have to learn
about
Africa.
I totally agree.
And
yeah.
learn
well,
how
let,
we
let
are the original people.
You want to respond
yes,
to that?
Let me tell you something. I'm not saying by any means that this was a good situation. I'm not saying by any means. I'm speaking from a legal perspective as far as the law, as far as what happened. And legally, from, like I said before, what makes legal sense doesn't make common sense a lot of times. But at the same time, you are 100% correct. People don't understand that everybody came from Africa. People need education. People need to realize that we all came from the African gene and that we all are one species. We are dependent. We shouldn't make judgment against each other, whether it's by color, by gender, by sexual orientation, by fat, by overweight, by skinny, by, you know, that person looks slow. You know, last night I was getting people were sending me Twitter feeds about that they were judging the girl Rachel and calling her names and blaming it on her because she couldn't speak properly. I mean, that's horrible in itself with the situation that already is with two people. One person has lost their life and one person's life is ruined. And then now you're blaming this girl and making fun of her. It doesn't matter. People are just set between the media. People constantly watch the TV. People are constantly greeting creating hate no matter what it is. They're making judgments from everything, from skin color to overweight issues to people not being able to speak properly. But I think education and love and patience will bring the gap between different people and different backgrounds.
I agree.
Can I
agree.
Just one brief thing? I like a lot of what Kim says. Kim sounds like a nice lady. The problem is nice people will watch as I'm hanging from a tree. We need to realize that race is a problem. We can't ignore the fact that the young man was followed because Zimmerman was a racist. How are we going to ignore that? Now, I'm not saying that racism should determine a human status. What I'm saying is that ignoring the 1,000-pound elephant in the room is like saying, okay, let's just pull racism off the table and make it just an equal thing between people. And that wasn't the case. That's like me. If I like to steal chocolate cake and I come to people's house looking to steal chocolate cake and my lawyer says, you know what, let's pull chocolate cake off the table. He was just a man there minding his business. No.
What do you suggest that we do to bridge this gap, to end this, and go to move forward together as a species and realize people, I'm all down for it.
Yes.
I have a suggestion.
And she's sincere. I'll be honest with you. I'll vouch for Kim. She's sincere when she says that.
To move forward, first we need justice. And there is no equality when one side is getting everything and the other side is getting basically nothing. So when people tell me let's move forward, I look at an equal sign and I see Caucasian race on one side getting everything and my people on the other side suffering. And guess what people say? Let's go forward.
Well, you know what? This is the thing.
How do we go forward?
How do you know? And that's the question. And I think dialogue like this is the beginning. But I think it's gonna take things in the wrong direction if we constantly get mad at every white person. You know, we see it, every white person gets mad at every black person they see. And again, none of us had anything to do with what happened that night. Trayvon is deceased now, and George Zimmerman is a free man for killing him. And so the rest of us should be trying to figure out how we don't let it happen again, how we don't find ourselves in the exact same situation. And I think, you know, Kim's a friend of mine. I don't think attacking her is the answer. You know what? At some point after I prayed about this verdict, and this was way before it came in, y'all, I had a sense of peace that God was ultimately in control, and no matter what the verdict came back, we were going to be okay. And when I got that sense of peace, I could look at Kim's view and say, you know what? She draws from her experiences and perceiving things the way that she sees, and I'm drawing from my experiences to see things the way I see. So it's a possibility that because we come from two totally different worlds,
yes,
we're never going to exactly see it, you know, exactly the same. But I have to respect. Let me finish.
That
I have
was
to respect.
My biggest.
But let me finish. I still have to respect her for having. She has a right. I mean, who am I to tell somebody else how to think?
I agree with that, but here's the thing: we can't let people dictate what we're doing and what we're saying. It's not an attack. If we don't have the Q&A, it's like if we question her about her views, now we're attacking her. If we go and try to demonstrate in the streets, now we're protesting. We can't let them define. It's the way
we're not attacking you. I'm not attacking you. And you were the only African American, and everybody was like coming at you saying, and I got a question, and answer this, and then you would kind of feel like you were under attack. And that's all I'm saying.
Because she's the only one there from that point of view. Because she's the only one there.
She's a strong person. Don't get me wrong. She's very smart. She's very intelligent, y'all. And she can handle her own.
Listen, I do not take this as an attack. I agree 100%. I have lived a total life from each and different every one of you. As you have all individually lived different lives than I have, you may not agree 100% with different things that but I gain my perspective from my point of view. I've never been in a family in my mother's side who I have always been involved with. There has been racial issues in distant family, but in my own home, there has never been any racial issue. I was never taught in my home that different people of different colors, you have to be careful, you have to do this. I've never been told anything about any other color. I've never been influenced. People were people to me. I never had to fear, my neighborhood, sometimes we didn't lock our door. I grew up in a total different environment. Each person, I always contemplate on wanting to write a book called Environmental Effects, because people who in their environment gain their perspective. And not saying that my perspective is right. I don't say I'm 100% right. I do not believe that my theory is exactly right. I'm just saying from my where I'm sitting in my seat, this is a perspective that I see. It may be wrong. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. I feel so bad that a person had to lose their life. But you know what? In the end of the day, I think this racism issue is a much bigger picture. I think that the media, I think that the people who are in power, who are the majority, and I'm not even going to say majority, they are all white, men especially, who make this world go round, and we are all puppets on a string. And I think that they like to see division amongst us. They like to see division amongst the common people. And I think that we all should try to come together and step and see. You know, that's part of the world. That's what makes the world, because we're all different. But yet we're the same. We're all the same. We all come from the same, and we're probably all going to the same place, in my point of view. But
and you know what? And that's why I refuse to fall out with Kim over this verdict. Because, you know what? I can learn from Kim. I can better understand how possibly those jurors came to that decision.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
I don't know if I will, but
hey.
I think at some point in her coming to see things the way that she does, she must kind of have some kind of mindset like they do about how they believe things played
mm-hmm.
out. And so
and
I think we got to come to a better
it.
Understanding,
mm-hmm.
y'all. We got to do
but
that.
Respect,
you know, because fighting amongst ourselves and tearing up our communities and tearing up other folks' communities and some more people dying is not the answer. George Zimmerman is the person that stood on trial and should have been convicted for the murder of Trayvon Martin. That didn't happen. So what can we do as a group? We can get smarter. We can learn the law. We can get our own guns if we have to defend ourselves. I'm not saying shoot anybody for any other reason other than self-defense. But I think it's a lot of lessons to be learned in this. That's where I'm coming from tonight, y'all. I just want to say one more thing.
I think that it's important also. I have recently pulled my child out of public school, and I have taken on homeschool. I don't want my child to grow up knowing some BS story about, you know, Thanksgiving and Indians. I want my daughter to know that, hey, you came from Africa. We all came from Africa. We all originated from a very spiritual, sacred place. I want her to know those things. That should be key forefront. We should be pushing this. If kids are going to go to public school, maybe those are the things that they need to know. If kids were taught from an early age, hey, these are your ancestors. You came from them. We're all, you know, not from here. This is not United States. We're not all from here unless you're a Native American. We're all from Africa. We all migrated out of Africa. We all come from an African lineage. Maybe that should be forced and taught to these children. So then when they did grow up, they would have the respect and compassion for other races. They would have the respect and compassion for their fellow human beings. And I think that that's the biggest part. If we educate from an early age what is really important to us, then they will carry through that in their life, and then they won't be George Zimmermans. There won't be people like that who assume and make assumptions that are false and wrong and have, you know, no valid perspective to that.
I agree.
Yes,
yeah, we're going to give each of you all an opportunity to out tonight and tell us, you know, whatever you want to end on. If you want to talk about the verdict, want to talk about George Zimmerman, want to talk about Trayvon Martin, you know, want to say a prayer, whatever it is. Let's close out tonight with everybody getting a closing a statement. Alberta, you haven't said much this evening.
I have actually thought about everything that was said, and I sometimes like to listen to other people's perspectives and views, and, you know, because I learn a lot when I listen, you know. I don't mind giving my opinions, but I learn more when I listen to other people. And I have certainly learned a lot from Kim and from other various people on the panel. And I just think that a great injustice was done, you know. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Trayvon Martin will never walk this earth again. His parents will never see him again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are a lot of other black children dying every day on the streets of Chicago and other places. I have to think about those children. I have to think about the other countless black parents that are burying their sons and daughters to gun violence and people, you know, murdering them over a pair of sneakers or, you know, a cell phone or some crazy thing, you know. And, you know, that's what I think about, you know, that's what I think about.
Okay, that'll work. Kay Quinn, you want to close us out with something today?
Well, I will. But again, I just want to say to Kim that we were not attacking you. We were just wanting to know your viewpoint because we understand how you feel. Thank you. Because we understand how, you know, the Caucasian feel. It's just that we think they don't understand how we feel. They don't understand how we live. And if we had just one person of a different ethnicity on that jury, we may have had a different outcome. We feel it was a just a travesty of injustice that happened to us, that a man can follow a child, a grown man that can follow a child in the dark and then kill this child and get away with it because, like I said earlier, I don't know if anybody heard that, but to the victor goes the spoils, and that includes the scream and the cries for help that came from Trayvon Martin, where a professional voice analyst said it could not have been George Zimmerman, and they knew that, but they paraded a cloud of witnesses that come in there and lie and said that they heard this grown man crying like that, and he's the one with the gun. Kemp, no one believes that in our community, but no one believes that for a second. And because, and one other reason is because the minute he silenced Trayvon Martin, the screen stopped immediately. Common sense lets us know that that was not George Zimmerman screaming for help. And it didn't help that the sergeant told him, you hear that? That's you. That's you crying. You hear that? And then George Zimmerman not even being in his right mind, that don't even sound like me. He knew it wasn't him. But again, to the victor goes the spoil. So Trayvon Martin's voice is silenced so he can take his screams along with his life.
Wow. Listen, Terrence Lewis, you still on the line. You want to close out with something this evening?
Again, I guess I just echoed. Is there any echo? You hear an echo in my voice or anything?
Oh, we're good.
Go? Okay. I just want to echo what everyone else said. I wasn't trying to attack him. I think the first responder she mentioned, I like to listen to a lot of the points that people make before I actually make comments or anything like that. But, and again, it wasn't to attack you, Kim, or anything. It's just a lot of things that I hear people say a lot when they say things like my truths and things like that to kind of, you know, make me like, what? What is your truth? I mean, there's either one truth or there's no truth. You see what I'm saying? But, again, this goes back to, pretty much a young boy got murdered, which what it comes down to. I think something that Kim did say is that what makes legal sense doesn't always make common sense, which goes back to why I don't trust the justice system that we have, even though people want to say, well, it's the best in the world. I was like, if that's the best we can do, then we have a problem. Because in the end story, we're not presenting facts. We're just presenting who can make the story sound the best. And whoever makes the story sound the best sells the most books, i.e. O.J. Simpson cases and Charles Manson cases and things like that. You see what I'm saying? So if we can't even present the facts and use the facts of what happened and how it was, because in all honesty, the prosecution failed. I think they were in bed with each other. They were in bed with each other from day one. You could use a buffoon, literally, to win this case because, sometimes when you have circumstantial evidence and they say legal sense doesn't allow for common sense, well, the problem is circumstantial evidence calls for common sense to be come into play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with everything that went on from the hardcore facts which led into circumstantial facts or circumstantial evidence which lead into the facts, we know what happened. Problem is, it wasn't presented well. The story wasn't presented well. Therefore, if your story doesn't sound good, nobody's going to buy your book. Therefore, he's off. And that's a problem with the American justice system. Because it's not about what sounds good. You want to get justice. You want to get the facts out. And that didn't happen. So, that's pretty much all I have on that end.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to let Kim defend herself or close with something tonight. And then we're going to go to Mr. Khufu to close this out. Okay, Kim, you've been... You know, you had a lot of questions addressed to you tonight, so you want to close out with anything?
I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come on here. I know that I came in a little late. I was just going to make a comment and go, and thank you for letting me, you know, sit on the line and, you know, discuss this. And I appreciate every one of you, and I'm very sympathetic when I say that it's a very sad situation that a boy, I feel so bad for this family and this young man who lost his whole life. But I think that at the end of the day, we as people can use and be a voice for him and move forward and try to learn a lot from the situation and progress as a whole human family and try to figure out a situation or a lot of solutions to the division amongst each other, whether it's for racial division or sexual orientation or religious or a lot of the things that divide us as people, you know, in today's world. And I, again, thank you guys for letting me come on.
Thank you. Mr. Khufu, close us out tonight. Your closing remarks.
Yes, I think that the black community is not going to rest until we get a satisfactory outcome in regards to Trayvon Martin's death. The civil rights leaders in the black community around the nation, as well as the black community, are about to create a legal hellfire right here on earth from George Zimmerman and George Zimmerman supporters. And so that's coming right around the corner. We're not going to rest until we get some type of verdict in which we can live with. Right now, we're not going to be able to live with this verdict here. And we just can't take it. We're going to do something about it. So with that said, I just thank you for allowing me to come on to your show again, Carrie. And everyone have a nice evening. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mr. Khufu. Listen, I'd like to thank Carl Mitchell, that's also known as Khufu, Alberta Parrish, and Kay Quinn for being my guest today. Thank y'all so much. A reminder, y'all, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or advertisers. Also a reminder, y'all, we do this each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central, 9 to 11 Eastern. Tell a friend, tell a family member, tell a coworker to check out the show. Listen, we're in here today on a special edition of Center Stage. We don't typically come in on Sunday afternoons from 2 to when did we come? 2 to 4 Central, 3 to 5 Eastern. We just did it today because we saw that there were so many people on the social media websites, and they were singing so many things, and we just thought we'd give people an avenue to vent tonight. So that's why we did the show tonight. And we hope that you'll come back next week or this Friday and join us again as we do what we do. And we'll probably be talking about George Zimmerman again Friday. So y'all be sure to come back and join us for that. Again, I'd like you to say thank you to my guests. Thank you to the audience for listening. And we're going to close out again, y'all, with this song from Wetota of the Nile as they have a tribute to Trayvon Martin. I thought it was beautiful. I played it Friday night, and I'm going to play it again tonight. You all have a good evening. See you next Friday. Bye-bye.
My sister here with no warning. Right now our nation's in mourning. We hope that justice prevails soon. The Martin family, we're with you. We come together, we must care. The negative will go elsewhere. I put my hoodie on while weeping, because this case is so misleading. Yeah. Right now our nation in mourning. We want justice, and you want it. Don't you? We can feel.
fresh in the morning. We hope the justice prevails soon. The modern family awaits.